Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. Okay. Shaitan wants us to represent his manners. He's mean and he wants us to be mean. He's stingy and he wants us to be stingy. Other than the opposite is Allah. Shaitan and Allah are the two opposite ones. Okay. So, Shaitan. No, they're opposite. Opposite to each other. Now, Allah wants, when I see you following the manners of Allah, do I remember Allah or do I remember Shaitan?
Remember Allah.
When I see you ugly and mean and stingy, do I remember Allah or remember the Shaitan? Shaitan. So Allah wants us to follow and demonstrate His good manners, which are beautiful. Well, I'm not going to be telling you everything. Just listen to me and you'll learn it. Okay? All right. Now, during Ramadan, what happened to the shaitan? Huh? During Ramadan, what happened to shaitan?
It gets lost away.
These are going to be the picture on the... Look. This is going to be in the picture on the website. So I want you to participate and actually listen instead of like just copying what's on the board. You might take head notes though. Okay. Allah wants, is testing us to show the truth about us. Allah will test us through life to show the stingy will prove his or her stinginess. Right? Through real life tests. The kind will show his or her kindness. The mean will show his or her meanness. You understand? You demonstrate that in life. You act like this. You act mean or you act kind. So you're showing who you are. Are you showing Allah who you are? No. Allah already knows who are you. Who Allah already knows about you and knows who are you. You got it? So, through Allah showing this through a test. Now, what happens, what do you say to the one who says, I don't want to be tested? Someone can say, I don't want to be tested. What do we say to this? We're saying to this person, no, you're not saying the truth. Why? Can you think of an idea? To show that this person actually likes tested, to be tested? Any ideas? I'll give you one idea. Slaves, dead people, are they tested or not? Dead people are tested?
No.
No. So if you don't want to be tested, okay. People love to live or to die? Live. So, if you choose to live, then you are asking for a test. Right? Okay? Because dead people are not tested. Another thing is that, to prove, who's tested more, slaves or kings?
Kings.
Kings. Why?
Because they have more power.
They have more power. Okay. A decision made by a king affects the whole country. A decision made by me, okay, will affect only my family and my surroundings. Okay, so who's tested more, Obama or me?
Obama.
Because he got to decide about all these questions, important questions. But for me, it's very simple. Things are not really so complicated. And if I make a mistake, I'm not affecting a lot of people. This is why they say with power comes
responsibility.
With power comes responsibilities, okay, meaning that you're being tested. Now, do people want to be powerful or powerless?
Powerful.
So you're asking to be powerful, so you're asking to have to be tested. Okay. Do you like to be powerless? No. If you're powerless, then you basically are not tested, or you're having a very easy test to go through. Poor people are tested more than rich people, or the other way around? Rich people are tested more because they are able to do more with their money. That's right. Okay, now, free people are tested. Slaves are almost not tested, right? What are the choices available to slaves?
They can either work or die.
Yeah, but do they have the freedom to decide things?
No.
Basically, they are being told and forced to do whatever they're doing. So they are not being tested. Now, question, would you like to be slave or free?
Free.
Then you want to be tested. You want to be tested. Because if you're slave, you're not. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that about the people who have no choice. In the Quran, Allah said about the people who have no choice and don't know where to go. Okay? Allah will forgive them. Are you following me? Now, so basically, okay. Do you want to have a good brain, a healthy brain, or be insane? Insane people are being tested or not tested?
Not tested.
Insane people are what? Insane people are not tested, right? Do you want to be sane or insane?
Sane.
You want to have sanity or you want to be crazy? Sanity. Then you want to be tested. So if somebody says, oh, don't want to be tested, tell them, yes, you want to be tested. By being alive, by being free, by being rich, by being sane, you know, not insane, by being not insane, then you're asking for a test. You can also argue and prove to them that they are looking for a harder test. They are looking for a harder test. How? Can you explain how? They are looking, humans are looking for a harder test. Huh? Ideas. And next time I'm going to move you away from your place. Ideas. I'm saying that humans want to be tested, and we explained that. I am arguing now and saying they're actually looking for a harder test. Any ideas how come? Okay. People are asking to be rich, and they're asking for more money and more money and more money, right? By being rich and by being having the desire to have more money, then they have the desire to have more test. If you have $1 million, you're being tested. If you have $2 million, you're being tested more. So people love to have money, right? Which means that they love to be tested. There was a guy at the time of the Prophet. His story is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. This guy was homeless. Homeless people live in the masjid. Okay? They're called Ahl al-Sufa. They are living in the masjid. They have no other place to go. He was from Ahl al-Sufa. Okay? And he would, the Prophet, he was very poor, homeless, and he would go to the Prophet and say, please pray for Allah to give me money. So the Prophet tells him, okay, right now you don't have money, so you have an easy test. You have an easier test. You have an easier test because you don't have money. If you do have money, the test would be hard on you. Okay? And you might not perform well. So then he told him, little bit that you can thank Allah for is much better than a lot. Okay? That will take you away from Allah. So the guy said, no, I want to be tested. I'm sorry, I want more money. Please pray for me. And he kept nagging on the Prophet. So the Prophet prayed for Allah to give him money. He started going to the market and making money. When he went to the market to get money, then he would skip prayers. Before, he was the bird of the masjid, doing all prayers. Now he's skipping prayers. The Prophet asks about him, how come we don't see him all the time? Then they say he's busy. Then he started skipping Jummah. Even Jummah, he started skipping Jummah. And the Prophet asked, where is he? He said, busy with his wealth. Okay, growing his wealth. Then the Prophet wanted to collect the zakah. Wanted to collect what? Zakah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send the people who collect the zakah, called collectors or whatever, that go and audit everybody and just take, okay, you have these camels, then this would be your zakah, and so forth. So Prophet Muhammad sent the people who collect the zakah to him, to that poor people, to that person who's called Thu'aylaba, It's called what? Surah 11. So you know the story of Surah 11. Mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, which is Surah number 9. You got it? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Prophet, when the guy who collects the zakah went to him, he said, this is like taxes of slavery. Taxes of slavery. Go tell your friend, which is Prophet Muhammad, he said, go tell your friend, these are taxes of slavery. So the guy asked him, is the Prophet Muhammad your friend too? He said, just go, he's not my friend anymore. Just go tell him that this is a tax of slavery. And he didn't want to pay zakah. The Prophet said, Thu'aylaba is doomed. When the guy went back to the Prophet and said that and repeated what Thu'aylaba have told him, the Prophet said, Thu'aylaba is doomed. Thu'aylaba is doomed. So what I'm trying to tell you here is that by having more money, you're asking for a higher test, which is growing the money, being busy, you know, in business that, you know, grows the money more, being busy, more attracted to away from your religion, away from your life. You have more money, you have harder tests. Just like the driving license. Who's tested more? The one who has driving license or the one who doesn't have driving license? Which one is having a hard test? Yes, has a harder test. Okay. What if... So, do you guys want to have driving license, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah? Mostly, yeah. So that means that you're asking for a harder test. So... people want to have more money? Yes. So they are asking for a harder
test.
So if you don't want to be tested, you basically have to be either dead or very poor or a slave or insane. Yes. Do insane people, are they tested or not?
No,
they are not tested. Zero tests. They are not responsible of anything they do, insane people. You got this part right? So you're asking for more money, you're asking for harder tests. You're asking for more power, you're asking for a harder test. You're asking for more freedom, you're asking for a harder test. You got this part right? Okay. So what is the test? It's called test of submission. What's the test of submission? This is called test of submission. Are you submissive to Allah or submissive to the shaitan? The manners of shaitan or the motivations of shaitan. This is the test, especially for example in Ramadan. Okay? Allah tells you not to eat or drink. The shaitan tells you to eat and drink because not eating, not drinking is painful. So shaitan wanted you to eat and drink. And then it's up to you. Are you submissive to Allah? Or are you submissive to the shaitan? Submissive to the shaitan means break your fast. Don't fast. Submissive to Allah, it means that you fast. So, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create his own enemies? Which are temptations and shaitan and all of these. Huh?
Because it's like without the sweet, without the sour, you never know the sweet. And it's so
nice. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Do you need any help? Do you know what's saying that you need?
Yeah, is she substituting?
Yeah.
Okay. I need help with the writing the notes on the board. That's right. You recognize Allah by knowing, experiencing the opposite. So would you ever be able to, just like the example that was given last time about being in the weather of this Bay Area versus the weather of Canada, for example. When do you appreciate the weather in California? When you go and compare to When you travel to Canada, then you will appreciate the weather of California. Why? Because your experience. But if the weather is the same, if the weather is the same, and then I ask you, how did you find the weather of the Bay Area? You will say, normal like everywhere else. Will you be able to recognize the nice things about nice weather? No, because everything else, everywhere else, you have nice weather. So it will not be, the nice weather will not be recognized. Now, you might ask me a question. First of all, how do you fight temptations? By changing the what?
Subject.
By thinking about something else. If you have an evil idea in your brain or an evil thought, how do you know it's from the shaitan or from the temptations? Any ideas? You have an evil thought and we want to find out, is it of your own temptations or from the shaitan? Because some people are so evil that they don't need the shaitan. You remember the joke that the shaitan learns from people? Yeah, shaitan learns from people. Some people are so evil that they teach the shaitan evil. Anyway, if you have an evil thought, is it coming from shaitan or from temptations? How do you know that? Okay, I'll tell you an example. The way the shaitan works, the shaitan will hit and run. Will what? Hit and run. He will start the spark. He will start the fire and then go away. And then it's up to you if you entertain that evil thought or not. So the shaitan will what? Hit and run. Shaitan is good to hit and run. Start the evil thought and run. And then it's up to you. Nobody doesn't get the evil thoughts from the shaitan. Trust me. Nobody will not. But now what matters is Allah doesn't judge you for having an evil thought from the shaitan. Allah will judge you if you entertain that evil thought and run. So the shaitan will spark you, spark the evil thought. Now, how do you know this evil thought is not from the temptations? The temptations are, you know, there is so, it is in the body and it stays with you all the time. Okay? It is who you are. It is your manners. Your manners are like that. So you are being inspired by evil temptations because these are your manners and then you're inspired by them. But if you're inspired by the shaitan, it's like a spark. It's like hit and run. Let's see. There are halal temptations and there is haram temptations. For example, loving your child. Is it a halal temptation or a haram temptation? It depends.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I tell you. If you love your child more than you love Allah, then becomes an evil temptation or an evil love or, you know, wrong love. But if you love Allah more than you love your child, then it's going to be halal temptation, halal love. You understand that? If you love something more than you love Allah, then it is haram love. But if you love something less than you love Allah, then it becomes halal. Okay. Can you give me a real life story? Share with us a real life story where you've been tempted to do something wrong, but you walked away from the thought. Nothing you want to share? No specific story you want to share?
Wait, what was the question?
You're tempted to do something bad and then you walked away from that temptation.
So it was like Ramadan, right? I was fasting and then there was like my little brother who wasn't fasting was cutting peaches. Okay, and I really wanted one. But then I didn't because there was like 2 minutes left until my break.
That's right. And then you stopped thinking about the pizza, right? Yeah, stop thinking about it, right?
Yeah. Well,
because if you keep thinking about it, you lose It grows and grows and grows, and then you might break your fast. Any other story? That you got a bad temptation and then you let it go?
I was at Holyoke also in Lebanon, and then my brother, he wasn't fasting, so he like kept on like persuading me, like, no, you want this, you don't want this, and then, but I just ignored him.
Okay, that's good. So there are two kind of laws. There are two kind of laws. There are laws of nature and laws of Islam. Can you give me an example of the laws of nature? Huh?
Gravity.
The way you age, okay? Aging is a law of nature, right? Do we have anything or any person that doesn't age?
Allah.
Only Allah. But everybody else ages. What else?
Huh?
That you have to come from a woman, born from a woman, who's married or like who has a relationship with a father. Right? Okay. These are all the way you grow up in your mother's womb, okay? Womb, the way you grow there, these are all the laws of nature. Okay. The laws of Islam are like what? Praying.
25 prophets.
Believing, praying, and all these
five
are the
laws of Islam.
Don't, there's a do's and there's a don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Do this and this and this. Don't do this and this. Do you have a choice to break the laws of temptation, to break the laws of nature?
No.
Would Allah judge you for the laws of nature?
No.
No. You don't have the choice to break the laws of nature. How about the laws of Islam?
Yeah, but...
You shouldn't. You shouldn't. You shouldn't break the laws of Islam. However, you have the choice. So in this one, you have no choice. And this one, you have a choice. Okay? Now, if you break the laws of Islam, you get in trouble with the laws of nature. But why? Because Allah created the laws of Islam and the laws of nature to fit together like that. Islam, nature, laws of. Allah created the laws of Islam and the law of nature to what? Fit together like that. You got this part right? It's to fit together like that. These are the laws of nature and the laws of Islam. Allah created them to fit like that, together like that. If you violate the laws of Islam, then you end up with trouble in the laws of nature. Can you give me an example? Did I tell you the story about this guy who burned Ibrahim? And he said, I am God.
Wasn't that the king of
Babylon?
The Namrud?
Yeah, the king of Babylon.
Yes. What happened is that the guy, Allah said, Ibrahim said to the guy, Allah brings the sun from the east. Can you bring it from the west? And the answer was, huh? It's like, huh? He became speechless. He didn't know what to say because it's no. The answer is no.
Wasn't it because they brought him into his palace and then he said like he asked him questions like with the sun, and then after that he said Allah can like save the
Allah can give life and death.
And then,
can you give life and death?
And then he bring two slaves and he killed one of them, but he let the other
and
one
he spared up. The other one, and he said, I give this one life and I give this one death. Then what Ibrahim alayhi salam said, since you sort of stupid, in other words.
Sort of stupid.
I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you for something else. My God brings the sun from the east. Can you bring it from the west? And the answer was, huh? I can't. Okay, so give me an example of when you get, when you violate the laws of Islam, you get in trouble with the laws of nature. Do you have some example in the mind? Huh? Do you have an example in the mind?
No.
Let me give you an example. Drinking alcohol, is it drinking or not drinking? Is that law of nature or law of Islam?
Law of Islam.
Law of Islam. If you decide to break the law of Islam, then you end up with trouble in the laws of nature. Why? Because if you drink, you get diseases, right? Drinking diseases. You might get addicted. You might drive and kill somebody. Addicted, being like
addicted.
You might get addicted. You might kill your child. You might
cause problems.
Cause violence, domestic violence. But when you violate the laws of Islam, what happened? Is that the laws of nature? Now, when getting drunk, is it the law of Islam or the law of nature?
The law of Islam.
Well, drinking is a law of Islam, but getting drunk is a law of nature. So the nature says that you drink alcohol or you drink wine, you get drunk, right? And when you get drunk, what happens? You cause a lot of problems. You have a lot of problems. So basically, if you violate the law of Islam and drink, then you end up in trouble with the laws of nature.
So basically, the law of Islam is nature.
Yes. If you violate the laws of Islam, you get in trouble with the laws of nature. Why? Because Allah is the maker of both laws. However, Allah said, choice, you have choice here. Here you have a choice. Here you have no choice. Choice. Did I choose? Choice, right? Okay. So when Allah says, if you kill, that you get in trouble with the law of nature. Why? Because you get it's a law of nature that the people, the family of the person you kill, they're going to go after you. Okay? And so forth. Can you think of any other example when you break the laws of Islam, you get in trouble with the laws of nature? Any ideas?
Smoking.
Exactly. The law of nature says when you smoke, what happens to you? You get diseases. So now, this is the law of nature. It says you smoke, you get diseases. How about the law of Islam? It says don't smoke. Right, that's a very good example. Go ahead. This is a very good example.
Brother,
go ahead.
Like during the Prophet's time, did people smoke then?
At the time of the Prophet? No, there was no smoking.
There was wine, there was alcohol.
There is a rule in Islam that says that... There's a rule in Islam that says that whatever is harmful is haram. Whatever is useful is halal.
No, before you could, they could drink wine.
So, basically, no, smoking. We're talking about smoking. Smoking falls under this general rule. Whatever is harmful is haram. Now, smoking is harmful in different ways. It's harmful in terms of money, right? Like this was this guy smoking. I said, you know, the cost of fewer cigarettes in 1 year is enough to send person for Hajj.
Yeah.
It's enough to take a person for Hajj. So instead of smoking, save the money and give a person the tickets to go to Hajj.
Sometimes people can't stop smoking.
Yes.
You can have a vape pen.
Yeah, there's like...
But that's a very... I like this example so much. Because it's a clear example that you get in trouble... You violate the laws of Islam, you get in trouble with the laws of nature. Okay, no justice, no peace. Is that a law of Islam or a law of nature? No justice, no peace. It's a law of nature, right? It says no justice, no peace. So if you violate the law of Islam, which is You have to be just. Then you will have peace. If you're just, you'll have peace. If you're unjust, then you wouldn't have peace. You got it? Because when you do injustice, there will be angry people. And angry people are going to revenge. Or, you know, cause trouble. Because they're angry about not being just, being a victim. Like the African American. When they were treated less, the African American, when they were treated less, were they happy? No. Were they angry? Yes. And when they are angry, they caused a lot of damages. Remember the, what's his name, the guy, Rodney King, I think. Rodney King. He was beaten up by police officers in a rude manner. So the African American people, they rose and they destroyed a lot of businesses in Los Angeles. And the insurance, there's a rule in the insurance that says that if the damage comes from a civil war, then it's not, they are not responsible of paying the damages. And they considered the right to be civil war. And the insurance did not pay any to fix any of those. So the money came out of the pocket of the people. The actual people lost the business. And they become poor because of the rights of the black people. So would you get this right? Why did you get this right? Because no peace, no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Is it the role of nature or a rule of Islam? A rule of nature. When you violate the rule of Islam that says be just, then you get in trouble with the law of nature. Example, what happens to the Rodney King case when they were treated him less, then it led to the black people rising up and damaging a lot of businesses. Any other ideas about when you violate the laws of Islam, you get in trouble with the laws of nature? Huh? Any ideas? Can you think of any other situation or any other idea?
Stealing.
Huh?
Stealing.
Stealing is a violation of the laws of Islam.
Oh, what?
Of laws of Islam, if you steal.
Oh.
But how would that get in trouble? How would you get in trouble with the law of nature? Because, huh? You will have angry people. The people that you stole from are angry people. When you make people angry, is that a law of nature that people get angry when they are stolen? Yes. So you get in trouble with the laws of nature when you do break the laws of Islam. Now, who is the one who created laws of nature? Allah. Who is the one that created the laws of Islam? Allah. So the one who created both laws are the same. So because the one who created both laws are the same, Allah made them fit together. So the creator, yes, you can go, is Allah. So he created these laws and he created these laws. Because the creator is one, then these laws fit together. Fit together. When people date, are they breaking the laws of Islam or the laws of nature?
The laws of Islam.
The laws of Islam. How do they get in trouble with the laws of nature?
Their parents are angry.
Not only that, but for example, they will have children that you don't know the children belongs to who. And they will have children without fathers. They will end up being single mothers. Okay? So they get in trouble with the laws of nature. Laws of nature. If you have a child coming out of marriage, then this child will experience a lot less than, or like development would be less than, or social development or psychological development would be less than people who live with families of mother and father. So, there's another example that I can mention also about no justice, no peace being the laws of nature and violating justice. When we violated justice, we got attacked by terrorists or by people who are angry because we violated justice. In the past, when there was when we were a just nation, how do you go to the airplane? You just walk in, right? Walk in and walk out. Did you have to go through these all long search lines? No. Yeah?
Don't you need to go through security?
You guys maybe don't remember what happens before 9/11. Before 9/11, you wouldn't get through these lines of searches at all. You get just a minimal search, quick search, and you can walk in and out. You can walk into the terminal and say goodbye to your friends and then walk out again. Things were easy going. But when we violated justice, we ended up making people angry and we ended having terrorists attacking us. What happens after the terrorists attack us? Then what happens? Then we started doing all these security. Okay? So we violated the law of Islam. We get in trouble with the laws of nature. Who is being tested more? Poor people or rich people?
Rich
people. Why? One of the reasons, among the reasons rich people are being tested more is that the rich people have a lot more distractions than the poor people. What are the distractions that the rich people are subjected to that are not, the poor people are not? Huh? Yeah, you would be attracted to other things. Luxuries, because you can afford luxuries, right? Because you can afford luxuries, then you're being distracted. And this will be easier because the poor people don't have as many attractions. Yeah. There's a story about this in the Quran about Prophet Dawood. About Prophet who? Dawood. Prophet Dawood, alayhi salam, he had a lot of good horses. Prophet Dawood or Prophet Sulaiman? I think it's Prophet.
Wait, good what?
Sulaiman. I'll tell you, he got good horses. Good, real good horses. They are very beautiful and very fast and very strong. Then he started, examining them. He started enjoying them. And he started going from one horse to another. And he missed the prayer. He missed the what? Prayer. Then he said to himself, he wanted to punish himself for missing the prayer. So he killed the horses. He killed the horses. Why? Because they distracted him from a prayer. He got so angry that he couldn't think anymore, or think right anymore, so he killed them. But that's an example of how that rich people are being distracted. I know about people who go for cruises for 6 months. They go from one cruise to another cruise, and to a third cruise, and they are living their life on cruises. And it's really a waste of life. You know, just imagine living your life all in cruises, from one cruise to another cruise. Is that a righteous way of living life? No. But what tempts them to do that, or what made them able to do that, is their money. Okay? Their money. People who have money, they are busy investing the money. They are busy investing this money. And that's another attraction. And this is another distraction from that makes poor people don't have a choice. Basically, poor people, what kind of distraction poor people will have? They don't have video games. They don't have means of fun. Okay? But rich people have this available. So when you have something available to you, okay, you're being tested more than when you don't have something available for you. Now, the rich people are more likely, the poor people are more likely to follow the prophets than rich people. And actually, poor people were more in the companions of the Prophet Muhammad at the beginning, in the pre-Mecca, and this, I'm sorry, pre-Medina, which is Mecca period. There were so many poor people. Poor people are hungry for justice. So once they find a prophet who's preaching justice, they join because they're really hungry for justice. So if Allah would make 10 people rich, okay, 3 of them will go to the masjid, approximately. If Allah would make 10 people poor, then 7 of them will go to the masjid.
What about the other 3?
They become, you know, the poor who is rebellious, who's angry with Allah. You know this, the poor person who's angry with Allah for being poor, and he says to Allah, why do you make me poor? You made X person rich and you made me poor. Why? What have I done wrong? I'm better than this guy. Why? You know what I'm saying? People who are poor, the 3 people. Okay. The patient poor and the thankful rich. The patient poor and thanking rich are the same. They're good people. Good poor people are the patient good people. Good rich people are the thankful. Okay. Now, could be the opposite. You can have a rich person who's not thankful to Allah and says this wealth is mine, and you can have a poor person who rebellious says, Ya Allah, you mistreated me. You made a mistake by making you poor and making others rich, by making me a person, a slave, and making other people kings. Okay, think of other reasons. Why would the rich people be harder? The test of being rich is harder than the test of being poor. Huh?
Because you have something that you can misuse.
That's something?
You have something that you can misuse.
Yes, perfect. You have something you can misuse. They have something, when you're being rich, you have something that's good. That's very good, excellent. There's something that's being misused. If you're poor, you're going to misuse what? Money? You don't have money.
Nothing.
Misuse money. You can misuse your time, but misuse money is not available to the poor people. But for the rich people, it's an available choice. Whenever you have more available choices, then you're being tested harder. How about I'll give you a hint. Charity-wise, how come the rich people are tested more than the poor people?
Because they're more giving.
They have to pay more charity. I'll give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm going to use the dollar instead of the dinar. $1 in a charity is much more rewarded than to Allah than $1,000 in charity. The companion said, $1 is better than like several thousands of dollars? Like let's say $2,000 or $1,000? How? The Prophet said, a guy who has $2 and he donated $1. So how much of his wealth did he donate? One half. and another rich person who donated 10,000 or 1,000, which are nothing, peanuts, like Bill Gates donating $1,000. Is that like a person like me and you donating $1,000?
No.
No, why? Because
so
to him, yeah, they always say that if a dollar falls down, Bill Gates is making so much money to the level that if one dollar falls down from Bill Gates, the time that he spends to pick it up, okay, would be more worthy than the dollar. Another way, he's making so much money per hour that you can divide and say he's making, like, say, $2,000 per second. Or like he's making $500 per second. Then he's wasting his time picking up the dollar is a loss. You understand what I'm saying? Bill Gates, for example, the Microsoft guy. Okay, he's, yeah, because, you know, $500 per second, let's say, and it takes him 3 seconds to pick that dollar, that's $1,500. So why bother? They just leave it and go, huh? You got the idea? So, and there was a story of a person. Their particular story, I heard about it, and I know it's true. There was a guy who was a millionaire. He had $1 million. Then he went to the sheikh and he said, "Yeah, sheikh, how much zakah should I pay out of this $1 million?" The sheikh told him 25,000, because it's 2.5%, right? The verse says 25,000. He said, "What? Are you crazy? You want me to donate 25,000? No way!"
Isn't that 1/4?
No, this is 1,000,025. Right? Yes. 2.5 times the capital, the 1 million. 2.5 times 1 million is 25,000. So they get shocked. What? I have to pay 25,000? No way! And I have to pay this every year? No way! Yes. Well, we're leaving anyway. Yeah, it's just 2 minutes. So the amount of thinking required from the rich people is much more than the poor people. Just like Thu'ayleba. Okay? So that's why the test of being rich is harder than the test of being poor. Can you think of another example? I'll give you another example. The people who won the lottery. They get, what, $50 million when they win the lottery, or get what?
75, something like that. They choose.
55? They get 50. Okay, let's say 50 million. There were people, a normal family, loving and, you know, like just a normal family. They won the lottery. After like 2-3 years of winning the lottery, they went to interview them. They found that they lost the money. And the money basically destroyed them. Because they have this money, they wanted to enjoy it. And to enjoy this money, unfortunately, they went to haram way. They gambled. They got drunk. They threw evil parties like drinking and all of these things. And the man cheated on his wife. Because now he has the money. And with his money, he can attract women. So he cheated on his wife.
She should kill him.
And she cheated on him as well.
Oh.
Okay?
She should kill him.
Yeah. And then they divorced. Then the father becomes addicted, or like the man becomes drug addicted. Why? Because he has $50 million. He wants to, you know, he takes drugs. Takes drugs to be... to have, like, sort of, like we say, a good life. Now, the drugs will
kill him.
Yeah, will finish his wealth in no time. unless he has a constant income. I know this one, this guy who's an actor who takes like $2 million per show or per episode, and he lives on, he takes drugs continuously because he can afford that. $2 million, what's his name?
What does it start with?
Anyway.
Wait, but, is this a real thing?
Okay, let me give you another example. You know about the guy who did Home Alone?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Aha.
I just said
it's,
that.
Aha. Good. Do you know the guy? Was it? He's now devastated. Devastated. Macaulay. His name is Macaulay Culkin, I think.
Yeah. Why is he devastated?
He's drugged now. He's in drug rehab. He destroyed himself with drugs. Now, if he was a normal child, would that be the case?
No.
Millions.
Why was he not?
Oh, because they become rich child.
Oh.
The money made him. You know the guy who did Back to the Future show?
Yes. Martin.
Yes, because he made money, he became rich, he went on drugs. Now he's in trouble. So for those people, isn't it better for them to be poor?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Have the challenge.
Good. Okay. I'll see you inshallah next week. Assalamu alaikum.